Welcome to Documentary Diehards, the show where three sports fans break down one 30 for 30 documentary each and every episode. Ren, Sam, Nick, how's it going? Nick, you're just back from California. How was it?
Yeah, it was much warmer. Reevaluating my life choices coming back to Minnesota, but got some golf in, got some hiking in. It was very good.
Great. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing well. I was just saying I went on a 3-mile run after school today and slipped for about 2.75 miles straight. So I am jealous that Rudy got to experience what clean roads are.
Did you wipe out at all? Did you hurt yourself?
No, I was close several times though. And usually I'm like pretty good about not falling, but it was a battle out there.
Do you just like have a bag of salt when you go running and just throw it in front of yourself as you go?
Yeah, you start in front of yourself and then you're running out and back, and on the way back everything's melted by the time you run back. So
smart.
It's a trick of the trade. What's up with you, Ron?
Not much. Well, yesterday I went to the Carlos Correa press conference. Remember, was it a couple weeks ago I said that should be a documentary? Just Carlos Correa's weird experiences, and it didn't get any weirder. I mean, it kept getting weirder, I guess. Now it's finally a twin again. So
I saw
now it's home.
Yeah.
I saw somebody tweeted that he signed like $900 million worth of contracts for 28 years this offseason.
Yeah. it's crazy. He has a great deal, right? The interesting thing is that will follow him for the rest of his career, right? It's like if he ever gets his ankle injured, you know, it's the first thing people are going to think about.
Well, this is why the Mets were, you know, skeptical on that contract.
And like he even told like Mike Max yesterday, he was like, he kept saying like a long-term thing. Like he's like, some people think they have a crystal ball, like some doctors. Obviously, you know, he's not happy about that part of it, but really it's the long-term issues that people worry about, because I think they all agree that the short-term is not an issue with his ankle. So I don't know. I mean,
because what was his other contracts? It was it 12 years for 350?
That was the Mets. Mets was 315 for 12. Giants was 13 for 350.
That's so
okay.
So it's literally 31 years, because wasn't the Twins 6 years?
Twins is six with vesting and things for potentially 10.
Hmm. And that's basically by the Twins' discretion?
Yeah. Well, it's triggered based on plate appearances.
Okay.
But the Twins have they have the choice to opt into those, not the player.
Gotcha. And then they paid him more on a per season basis.
I would have to, I think so.
Slightly.
They paid him 200 over six, and the first few is like 36 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I think if you want to credit the Twins, it's getting them down to 6 years, because originally, like, the Twins were in the bidding, you know, in the early stages, and they had offered 10 years, $280 million. So then they leveraged his, you know, failures to sign with these other two teams to down to 6 years. So theoretically, the risk is lower for them because it's 5 years. But I think the money is, I mean, it's baseball. The money's not necessarily that. I don't care, you know. I'm not the Polets, right? So there's no salary cap. So I think for fans, they should be worried about the years and the commitment. So I think that's, if you want to, that's the most encouraging part. Now, obviously, it's still, you know, two teams said no, and then he fell back to the Twins. But it was cool. I mean, he's such a charismatic guy. Like, he's so easy to root for. He's really super smart and obviously a really good player. So be fun to watch again.
Yeah, nice to have star power and combine him with Buxton. Hopefully, you know, the age old thing. Hopefully, he can stay healthy, and they need some pitching. Yeah. But
they do need pitching. It doesn't sound like they're going to make any splashes as far as signing. Well, there's not really much pitching left out there unless it's a trade. But yeah, I mean, like, it's weird. He and Buxton apparently talk every day since like the season. Like, they're like really close, and Craig kept saying that yesterday. Like, Buxton was super excited, but they would have been talking every day. And like the president of the Twins, or the president of baseball, was kept saying, and it could be spin, but he kept saying that like Carlos always really wanted to, you know, he really liked the Twins. He never said like he was their first choice, because obviously no one believes that, but he wasn't. But I don't know. He definitely liked it here, and you can tell that throughout the season. So it's not, yeah, I don't know. It's such a weird, I mean, it's like a first ever, nothing ever has happened like this in baseball, at least. And it's also the biggest, as far as money, biggest contract the Twins have given out, beating Joe Mauer by 16 mil. So,
wow.
Twins don't usually make signings like this. I mean, remember last year when they signed him, like before the season started, like what the heck? Like,
mm-hmm.
big free agent stars don't go to the Twins. And now they got him again. So. Anyway, let's talk some college football. How about that?
Let's do it.
We are reviewing the U part two. We already did the U part one. Sam, I know you're the tallier of all our data. Do you remember what we gave the U part one? I think we ranked it pretty high just before we get going into this one.
You, we have now ranked 63 documentaries, and the U is our fourth highest ranked documentary with a score of 8.67 out of 10. And I gotta find what all of us gave it. Let's see.
This is directed by Billy Corbin, who I believe directed the first one. Came out in December of 2014, so that was still a while ago now that we're in 2023. A lot has happened since then, I guess, but not as much of notes, obviously. It was really just covering the time. Picked up pretty much where the last one left off, obviously with that great run before. And it picks up in the, this one picks up in the mid-90s and goes through mid to late aughts, I think. It covers their 2000 for their champions, national championship in 2000. Wait, 2001? Which one was it? 2000 was the year they wanted to get in, and then 2001 was the year they won it.
Yeah.
Beating Nebraska. And 2002 was the year that they almost won, and there was a bad call, and you know, in double overtime, and they lost Ohio State. So I mean, that was the most interesting.
The Youngstown
part
boys.
What?
To the Youngstown boys.
Yeah. Oh.
Connections.
I didn't even put that together. Yeah, so that would have been a 3-year national championship if a couple things went different. They would have to win that one, obviously. But yeah, that's my brief summary. I'm not going to get into it. I mean, it's just, you know, stacked. We all know stacked roster for, you know, someone said it could have been an NFL team that made the playoffs that 2000 year. Just with all the people that you went first round soon after. So, yeah. Sam, did you find the our ratings of this one as we enter the
I did. I gave it 9 military fatigues.
That was never the first one, to be clear. Yeah.
Yeah. Rudy gave it 9 hip thrusts, and Ren gave it 8 tobacco pipes. This was our 7th episode, so we weren't too fancy with our ratings at that point.
9, 9, 8.
We're still abiding by the 0 to 10 scale. Which, Ren, I saw a video of you with cheese curds showing off the 0 to 10 scale, which is actually a 0 to 100 scale.
Yeah, I think I saw you comment on that, and yeah.
I did, and then I took it down because
my wife
said that nobody understands my humor, or not enough people would understand my humor.
I died when I saw that comment. I was like, such a you thing to say.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that when I rated the cheese curds, though. But you know what's a bummer, just to be on a tangent, is that cheese curd video was on our trip to Green Bay, and our streaming service had wanted these little videos to document the road trip. So we stopped at a gas station, did it. We sent it over to back to the station, and then they put it on social media, which is not the plan. Now, I'm fine with that. But the weird thing is, you know, I've been back from that game, which is on New Year's Day, for like 12 days. People are still at work coming up to me and be like, oh, I saw this video, huh? You know, I saw this commenting. No story I've actually worked on, like tried hard on, reported on, you know, put my blood, sweat, and tears into. People have commented and talked to me about more than this one. People have been texting me too, like about it, like, okay, but do you actually watch the stuff I take pride in? No. It's just this awesome video of me eating some not very good cheese curds. Like, okay.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Sounds like you got to do more stories about cheese curds,
I guess. But let's get back on track here. Nick, what was your thoughts on this documentary?
Yeah, I think ideally I would have liked to watch the first one first if I had all the time in the world, and or just would have set aside more time, watched the first one first and then went through this one. From my memory, at least, I feel like we all rated the U part one as very high. But I think after seeing more of our documentaries, I think we all recognize that we probably overrated it in our rankings, at least to my memory. And so for this one, I almost went in with more of a skeptical viewpoint on it. But I liked it more as it went on. I think I liked the second half of this more than the first half. I feel like the first half was just kind of like trying to keep up with like what games they were talking about. And it went from like person to person to person to person and perspectives, and it was nice to get everybody's perspective, but it was also you know, kind of like random, or it was harder to follow along with, I guess, and to find like the clear path of like, this is what the documentary is going to be about. So that was one thing I think I struggled with initially. I had seen this before, and so going through and just having some, you know, like, oh yeah, that's right, that's where, you know, this happened, or, you know, just some points where, you know, jogged my memory, and especially around the Shapiro stuff going on. And we can talk more in depth about that, but just kind of funny how that transpired and all the different conclusions you can make from that too, with, you know, the U and all the ramifications for the players that it had versus, you know, coaches versus admin and whatever. But I thought it brought a little taste of a lot of different topics. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just jump in with my kind of brief impression of it, just because of what you said, Nick, is, yeah, I think the problem you were having that I also had with it was kind of just the structure of it. And yeah, I don't know. I always talk about like having like a good like story, you know, with the beginning, middle, and the end. And this, to me, that was kind of this one's biggest failing, because yeah, they jumped into like the championship run like really early, and I mean, there's just so much they had to get to, and it was an hour and 42 minutes, so it was long. But they still had to cram so much stuff in, and I don't know what they would have cut out if I'm suggesting that they should have. But yeah, like to me, the climax of the story is them winning the national championship, or maybe the next year when they just missed out on winning it. And then so much happened after that, like a decade that they covered after that is in the documentary. And so the beginning, middle, and end was not there for me. But yeah, there was a lot that I did like and was really interested by. The scandal with the Shapiro guy, the booster, and to me, the best part was like seeing, you know, Ed Reed making a play like every other minute and stuff like that. I would say I probably didn't like it quite as much as the first one, but the sequel. So what do you think, Sam?
You guys bring up really good points. I didn't really think about the start, the middle, and the end, and how, you know, the climax of the story was the national championship, the national championships, which they talked about super early on, or at least in the middle. And yeah, I'm just wondering, how could they have gone about it where, you know, the Shapiro, the donor stuff and all of that, you know, was maybe more towards the beginning. And then it talks about like, oh, this is where the U was, but here's where we were, and like build it up to, I don't know. Like, could they have made that work? Maybe somehow it might have been a
little would have been hard. Like, yeah, I'm not saying that they should have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is hard. I don't know.
Yeah, but it is a really interesting point and something I didn't really think about. Yeah, overall, I think like Rudy said, I came in and I think I was planning on just being harsher on this one because I think I've regretted how high we rated the first one. And I think, I don't know, we'll have to rewatch it at some point and see if it, after watching all of these, if it stands the test of time or if it was just one of the most well-known documentaries that we were like, yeah, this one's pretty good. So we're going to give it 9. But I don't know. Like I was blown away by a few things. One, I had like a really fun memory of that Ohio State Miami game. I was in my childhood home in my room and I had this tiny little TV and I was supposed to be in bed. And I remember it, like it's my first college football memory. And I remember laying up and watching it and like not really understanding the gravity of it or anything, but just understanding it was a big game and I wanted to. So that, yeah, that was kind of fun to relive that because I wasn't supposed to be awake, but I remember like barely being able to stay awake to watch it. I forgot how like intense it was and the late flag, but I watched that game. And so that was a really fun memory to rediscover. And then I just wanted to, I know you said we're not going to name the names, but I just have to name these names.
Yeah.
The team is so unbelievable that I just typed them out just so that I could say it all in one spot. Okay. The 2001 roster alone. Willis McGahee, Najee Davenport, Andre Johnson, Clinton Portis, Frank Gore, Bryant McKinney, Kellen Winslow, Jeremy Shockey, Antrell Roll, Ed Reed, Sean Taylor, Philip Buchanan, Jonathan Vilma, Vince Wilfork. The year before, Santonio Moss and Reggie Wayne graduated, and the year after, Greg Olsen was a big part.
G-Red, like, yeah.
Isn't that just unbelievable? Like, those names, like, it's just, I don't know if there'll ever be anything like it. And yes, like Alabama and Georgia and LSU have had some awesome rosters, but these are like first round talents, all time greats. Like Frank Gore is one of the all time great running backs as far as production goes. I don't know. Just Ed Reed is a Hall of Famer. Was on the way to being a Hall of Famer if he didn't, you know, pass away. Vince Wilfork's an all-timer. Jonathan Vilma's really great. Like Reggie Wayne is potentially a Hall of Famer, if not one. Just the amount of talent on that roster just blows my mind. And I knew about it coming in, but just rereading it, and I was like looking it all up and stuff as I was watching, and my mind was just blown. So I just want to say that. And then the last thing was just them talking about the donor. What's his name?
Shapiro.
Is it Nevin Shapiro?
Yeah.
I thought that was just a really fascinating spin on things. And I didn't know anything about that, but it was really interesting to see how he got into the university and how money kind of talks at that level and just the amount of influence he had, even though he was earning all his money in an illegal way. Was a really interesting spin and was obviously one of the reasons why the documentary was so long, but I think it was definitely worth touching on.
Well, it seems like it was one of the reasons the documentary was made. Like they wanted to tell us that story a lot and how that investigation, once he was in jail, went to like the NCAA, and they wanted to comment on the NCAA's corruption or whatever and how they handled it and mishandled it. I think because it seemed like they spent almost half, I don't know, maybe less than half of the documentary on that part. And to go to your second to last point, which was the roster, to me, and I can probably speak for a lot of sports fans, when we all knew about this team, right? This stacked Hall of Fame, or this amazing team, it's like an NFL roster. So like for me, this documentary was to scratch that itch, was to see these crazy players and relive these great players all on the same college roster. And I don't think it scratched that itch enough. We saw in the U part one where they had a stacked roster and it was all about how they got recruited because like, how do you assemble this amazing group? And in this one, I think they didn't want to repeat themselves. So they didn't really talk as much about how they recruited all these all-stars, you know. How did they assemble all these superheroes? You know, like And I think we wanted to, at least I wanted them to just kind of replay that part, replay that like section of how they recruited them, like they did in the first documentary, because I wanted to see how Ed Reed was playing with Clinton Portis, was playing with Santana Moss, was playing with Willis McGahee and Najee Davenport and Bryant McKinney, who I forgot was on this team, former Viking, notorious in some ways. But yeah, so that to me, that's what I really wanted to see more of. And if they had, then maybe the U Part 3 could have been Nevin Shapiro, and this could have, you know, ended at the championship. I don't know.
That's not a bad point. They definitely could have made the U Part 3 and focused on that and focused on the downfall and maybe the rebuild and how many times the U's been back.
Yeah.
Even though
I guess they could have saved the Nevin Shapiro stuff for when the U like wins another one or something.
Right.
Or maybe they're like, that's never gonna happen.
Yeah. Urban Meyer goes there in a year and brings it back to life.
I was actually gonna do a quick search on like their record the past, I forgot to do that the past few years.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely in the category of, you know, Nebraska and Texas as far as, you know, teams that were greats and haven't been able to change or get back
Texas
to that level.
In that category. When did Texas win the national championship? 2006?
2006, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. I just have to say this. How awesome was at the end? They're going through, you know, the university has won this many national titles or whatever, and it has six up on the screen, and then a flag flies onto the screen, and then they take it down from six to five.
I thought roll credits.
I thought that was so creative. I was very impressed by that. It took me a second to like be like, wait, what? And then like I was like, oh my gosh, that was great.
That reminds me of, since I've been sort of critical, it reminds me of one part that I really, really liked, which was that it was after, I don't know, they were trying to show, I think it was their national championship winning season, and they had showed like a big game that they won against probably Florida State, and then they were trying to just show them tally off blowout after blowout after blowout after blowout during that season. And so they did it by showing this crazy forced fumble that pinballed around, then finally someone picked it up and was running it back and was about to get tackled. And Ed Reed literally stripped the ball from his own teammate and kept running and went for touchdown. And then on top of that, they kept showing final scores. And that was just sort of like a fast forward through the season of their undefeated season. To me, I was like, oh, first of all, this is a crazy play. And then they did that and to show the passage of time. It was a good storytelling tool. So I really wanted to commend them on that because that was, I thought, super well done. And it worked.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, like, is this the first strip, like, friendly fire strip touchdown, you know?
I know. How do you score that? How do you put that in the play description? Play that play description, yeah. But, I mean, it was just insane. And also, I mean, Ed Reed had so many, like, highlights showing this, more than anyone, just because they were all so amazing, like, the way they showed them. How do we feel about Butch Davis?
You need to refresh me on this. I'm fuzzy on
so the head coach that turned him around essentially after the other guy,
right.
Like at the beginning basically, and then he built him back up finally after all the sanctions and the like limited scholarships, and they finally were a powerhouse essentially again, and then they missed out on the national championship game, and then they won that game or whatever, that bowl game, and then he left to go coach the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
And after he had, you know, told him that he was there for the long haul, which is, I mean, it's tales all his time in coaching, but they were hurt by it. And then he literally said in his interviews, he did interviews with this, like, he regrets going to the Browns. And that was like one of the big moments in the documentary. Whoa, what a thing to say. But then I was like, oh, they went on and won the national championship with your players, so I get why you feel that way. And then you also went to the Browns. So how do you feel about Butch Davis?
You went to the worst franchise in the history of sports and left the U. I had forgotten that his name was Butch Davis, to be honest. But I thought that the best part of that story was how the players were like, no, you're not hiring someone from outside of the U and the organization, or like the group.
Yeah, like they interviewed Barry Alvarez.
Yeah. And they're like, nope, we're not bringing in Barry Alvarez. We're going to hire someone on staff who, and then they talked about how, who did they hire? What was his name?
Coker, something Coker, Barry.
Yeah. Larry Coker. They hired Larry Coker and he just, basically they're like, yeah, he just was kind of like the chaperone on the field trip and we were just running the show.
Yeah. One guy was like, what Coach Coker did was nothing. Like they literally said he didn't do anything, which is obviously not true, but
yeah. I thought that that part was hilarious. And I mean, it makes sense. Like if a coach comes in and completely changes the culture, you never know what really happens or maybe it ends up being good because they had so much talent on that team anyways. Like it's hard to make a team like that bad, but does it change like the bad boy image that they had? And
well, yeah. I think it makes sense for everything that happened. Like they kept the continuity, right, with the assistant going up and being the coach. And so then they finally did get that win that season with using probably all the other schemes and protocols that the other coach had. But it wasn't sustainable, right, because then they got away with everything and they got in more trouble and they just weren't as good as years went on the coach. So it makes sense why it worked for like the next season when all they had to do was run it back. But maybe it also makes sense why they couldn't sustain it for, you know, 4 or 5 years plus. That program has had so many coaches.
No kidding.
I don't even know who the coaches are now, but
I think it's Mario Cristobal from.
I didn't like the lighting in the interviews. I thought that was glaringly bad. There's like shadows on people's faces. I was like, oh, this is a weird choice. And I was like, wait, this
especially
is
Larry Coker.
Yeah.
His was really bad.
I didn't understand that. It was so bad that I thought it was like on purpose, but like, why?
That's what you know.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I have on it. If there's any other things we want to get to, I think we talked. I talked a lot about my thoughts.
Yeah, oh, sorry, Rudy. Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, I think my goosebump moment, just like, you know, what you guys were talking about earlier with Ed Reed, but when he was hurt, and were they playing Florida State? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was that game.
I think, and he was just mad that they weren't winning by enough. It was too close of a game, and I forget what he did to his shoulder, but they're like checking him on. He's like, everyone's asking me, like, am I okay? Like, are you good? No, I'm not good. Like, I'm injured.
I'm out there playing anyways.
With some more expletives, of course. But yeah, it was very entertaining. I thought that was like a good, you know, snapshot of what that locker room was likely like every game and throughout the seasons.
Yeah.
My goosebump moment was probably when Santonio Moss
is in
the game and he's like, big players make big plays in big games. And he like repeats it like 3 or 4 times, then he just runs off.
he said it again in the interview. You know, he liked that. He's like, oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was awesome. What's yours, Ren?
Mine was winning the national championship. Like, I honestly was like, whoa, I'm feeling this. Obviously a pretty obvious moment, but that was after everything inventor, that was so crazy to see that.
You talking about the fact that they could have made the U part 3 and made this one shorter. And I was like very into that idea. Just is so telling of where the U has been as like a program and it's just like place in sports history. The fact that one college program could like easily justify 3 documentaries about it. Like the first one was awesome. This one was pretty good. Their teams have been amazing and they have all these scandals and stuff. It just tells you like what a wild ride it's been. Like if you've been a University of Miami fan all along, wow. But also just their place in sports history is forever. And I'm really glad to have like been able to watch these documentaries.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those where I was watching, I was like, learning so much. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a rating. Should we go with ratings now?
Let's do it. You go
I'm
first.
I'm going to give it 7.05 Edward Reed's because there was this one highlight when Reed hit a pick six and kept calling him Edward Reed. He said it over and over and I had never heard Ed Reed called Edward before. Edward. I died laughing. And 7.05, just because of all the reasons I had. To me, that's a good rating for a good documentary with some flaws. Yeah. How about you, Rudy?
Yeah, I'm very similar. I'm having to dabble into the 100th section as well, since all our ratings are kind of combining here. But 6.95, CC, very intrigued, Poppy, because they showed a, and I'm sure, do you know that Dan Le Batard show when he had his dad on there?
Yeah.
And I bet this is like Ren's like worst, like most hated show ever. And I just love it because of how stupid Poppy is. But yeah, he was on there for one of the highlights, and I just remember watching him and seeing CC, very intrigued, because he liked everything that was on sports and on TV.
I love that. Seeing those highlights, brought back some memories for sure.
Yeah. Or some of the Sports Center anchors, that we're talking about too. That was crazy.
Totally. Or like Dan Le Batard, you forget like how big of a Miami guy he is and like the role he plays, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it's like the U, and then like when LeBron was in Miami. Or Dwayne Wade, when he was starting or won his championship before, but those are like the big ones.
Right. All right. I'm gonna go with 7.3 three leg Greg. Because
G Reg.
Because they had a rap group that they played some raps, and they played some raps by Greg Olsen, and they referred to him as three leg Greg, which is so ridiculous. And you could tell he wasn't like super proud of it in the interviews. He's like, yeah, if I would have known that this was going to get out, we never would have done it in the first place. But that was pretty
I cool. Loved how I think it was probably speaking of Mike of ESPN, like Michael Wilbon, I think he was reading off like the tallies of the amount of like cuss words. It was like there was like 7 B words, there was like this and this. It was just hilarious to see him. Like, so up in arms about this rap song that the team made.
At one point, he was talking about like garden tools. He's like 32 words that mean a garden tool. That's all right, man. Yeah, all right. That brings the total to
seven. We're all very close.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that. 7.1 was the average, which puts it pretty low, actually, a lot lower than expected. It ties it with Without Bias as the 25th rated doc out of 63.
Okay.
So we have to do a vote on which we like better, but we'll do that later.
Oh, God, it's hard to remember all these. I know Len Bias. I'm trying to remember like what my thoughts on it were.
Yeah, you have to re-listen.
All right, let's move on to Mount Rushmore, which we're gonna kind of just play a game. It's not really Mount Rushmore this time, but we're just gonna talk about the NFL playoffs, which are about to start. We're recording here on Thursday. Playoffs start Saturday. Sam, can you kind of just give us your kind of idea for this? It's pretty simple. We're just gonna pick 4 teams, right? Each.
Yeah, so I thought instead of doing a Mount Rushmore, since the NFL playoffs are here, we could do a draft where there's 14 teams in the NFL playoffs, which start on Saturday. I was thinking we could do a draft where a snake draft where you pick the teams that you're most confident in to win games. And how we decided as a group to do the scoring will be weekend one of the NFL playoffs. If they win a game, it's worth 1 point. Weekend two, if they advance, it'd be worth 2 points for a win. NFC and AFC championship game would be 3 points for a win. And the Super Bowl is worth 4 points for a win. And so then at the end, we'll just add up our total score and announce the winner to our fans.
We got to think about something to put on the line here too. And the strategy here is if you want to pick a one seed, then obviously they won't get that point in the first round. You'll just, it's an investment if you hope they or think that they're going to make it farther. What should be the stakes here?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm thinking like breakfast on the line.
Breakfast on the line next time we go play golf, if I ever am able to play
Golf
golf again.
simulator breakfast or golf, yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'll
All
do
right.
it.
Deal. Who goes first? I gotta pull up the bracket here of the playoffs.
Who does go first? It
Tony
looks like
goes first.
if we hold true to what we've been doing, Ren, and then me, and then Rudy.
Okay. I like the sound of that.
Wait, so is it breakfast, like the winner gets breakfast, or the loser win, or the loser buys the other two
Ooh,
breakfast?
good show. Good.
Does
Well,
that make sense?
I think that
I would
I
say
was
the
gonna.
loser. I would say the loser buys breakfast.
But then what does the winner get?
Breakfast. Oh yeah.
No, but then the second place gets breakfast too.
We'll discuss off air, and we'll tell the fans about
Update the next
it.
time.
Okay, yeah, it's we got a long week of playoffs to go.
Breakfast.
Breakfast,
Breakfast.
lunch? No. Okay, I gotta figure this out. I don't know what to pick. I'm gonna go with the Buffalo Bills as my first pick.
Smart.
Sorry, Sam, I took your first pick.
You did.
Yes.
They make the
Yes.
most sense. They have a first round game,
Right.
which means they can get in. They don't have a disadvantage if they make the AFC Championship game, like they'll be at a neutral site. So that makes sense.
And arguably, they could have, should have been the one seed. Like things that happened differently. So yeah,
Right. They
I
just have
think
to
that's.
build them instead of the bye. But yeah, I'm totally in agreement there. And they're the team to root for this playoffs. Like once the Vikings are out.
Destiny.
Yeah. Once the Vikings are out, I'm definitely a Bills fan, and I think half of the country is too.
Yeah.
And the other half love cardiac arrest.
Yeah,
Yeah, right.
they're half of bad people.
All right. I don't like love to make this pick because I probably will kind of root against them just because I'm kind of sick of them, but I'm gonna pick the Chiefs second. They just make the most sense. They have a bye. It's Patrick Mahomes. They've been playing pretty well. They're going to be at home at least until the AFC Championship game. So I'll go with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I like it.
I am gonna go. I'm gonna ride the 49ers train.
Wow, I'm surprised.
I just think their defense is so scary. I think they're gonna be. I feel like Kyle Shanahan has created an offense that doesn't. It doesn't matter what who the quarterback is, and I guess we'll just see where that changes. Like that has to change at some point, right?
Yeah, good point.
But I
Brock's
mean.
been awesome. He's been so good.
Oh, right. But he's been protected as well. Like,
Yeah.
maybe I'm minimizing him, but like, when is a defense going to, just wreak havoc on them? And he's going to have to make some plays to win. But he's got so many people around him that I don't know. I think it's very intriguing.
Yeah, I like it.
And then I'm going to go with the Bengals for number two.
All right. That's the first one that's gone out of order for me so far. I had both.
Really?
I had Bills, Chiefs, Niners in that order.
In that order.
Yeah. But I like the Bengals. They're playing super well right now.
And Burrow has a good record against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, or is it just Josh?
Yeah, and Patrick Mahomes, they won in the
Right.
regular season and they won last year in the playoffs, so
Yeah.
yeah. I do not bet against Joe Burrow, that's for sure. I mean, I don't really want to make this pick. No, that's a first round bye. That's boring. I was gonna take the Eagles and just be the boring. I hate being the boring one though. That sucks. Be the one seeds. You know what? I'm gonna be a little risky here. I'm going with the Bucks. Yeah.
Wow.
Might be unpopular,
Who's their quarterback?
who's there?
but I think they'll take care of business against the Cowboys, and then they'll stomp right into Philly and beat them,
I
and
think they'll lose to the Cowboys. Honestly, I do.
that's fair. And the Vikings will host the NFC Championship game.
Oh. I'm going to take the Eagles.
With Ren's surgery, with Ren's surgery on the line.
Yeah. I'm on Philly. To me, they're the favorite for that to make the Super Bowl in the NFC. So I'm kind of surprised they're still on the board. Not to disrespect you guys, but they can already.
Yeah.
See what Jalen Hurts can do.
I should have picked them, but I don't know.
Gotta live a little dangerous. It's
like bad karma, you know.
I don't know what to take now. I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is, and I'm gonna take the Cowboys.
Wow, guys, look at this list.
Uh oh.
Wait. Are the Vikings still on the board?
Yeah.
No, I'll still take the Cowboys. I that's a toss up though to me in that slot.
All right. Well, I'm just gonna go next on the board. I'm gonna take the Queens, baby. Viking skull to the bowl. They're going all the way.
Skull to the bowl. I don't know.
They're gonna host the Bucks in the NFC Championship game, and we're all gonna be there.
I'm game.
That'd be awesome. I would be so happy.
That would be the biggest.
I would pay so much money to see Tom Brady in the game.
Yeah, that would be very tough to not be excited for or not want to go. I mean, okay.
Totally.
So who we got left? The Giants, the Seahawks, the Dolphins, the Ravens, the Chargers, and Jacksonville or Jaguars?
Yeah.
Yes.
I said that. I'm gonna go the Chargers first off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love it, but I don't know. There's not much left, so.
Yeah. Jeez.
What if you get the Chargers and the Jaguars?
I know, that's what I'm debating.
But I was thinking that strategy too, because then you at least guarantee a second round play.
I know, but like, is 1 point that valuable? Like, you kind of got to get a whole bunch right.
Right. But then I can't pick the Seahawks because I picked the 49ers. I can't pick the Ravens. Right.
Well, yeah, then it makes it really restrictive if you're aiming for a perfect scenario.
Yeah. I'll go. Vikings doubter, put it on the bulletin board. Give them some bulletin board material, and we'll go the Giants.
Wow,
Giants are a good team, I think. I mean, I know they're a good team.
Right, Ren, you're so biased right now. You're so against the Vikings. It's unbelievable.
I'm not. I think the Vikings will win the game this week.
Oh, good.
But I think it's going to be really close. It was as close as you can get last time. So
I would just like to make an announcement that this is the first time in Doc Diehard's history that Rudy has not been a homer.
First off, I know. Well, yeah, double weird because he didn't pick the Vikings. He didn't pick the Vikings with a 3 pick and a 4 pick, and that's even more.
Yeah, what the heck? Rudy, you feel You good?
You good? Stop asking me if I'm good. I'm not.
I'm injured.
I tried to trade up in this draft, but to pick the Vikings. But
all right, well, you boys messed up because the Jags should have been picked 2 slots ago, according to my ranking. So I'm taking the Jaguars here.
Okay, so that leaves me for the final pick. It leaves me the Seahawks, the Dolphins, or who? The Ravens?
Yeah.
Oh, Ravens. Wow, definitely. I like the Ravens. Yeah. I think
is Lamar back plan or back on track here? No.
I don't know. I think no one knows.
He's not. Yeah,
I just got an alert about him, but I don't remember what it was. I didn't read it. I don't think anybody knows. I think it's very – he's keeping everything.
Aaron says, according to Good Morning Football this morning, it's a no.
Well – Big Jamie Erdahl fan.
I do like Jamie Erdahl on there.
Me too. She's the best. She's from Minnesota.
Yeah. St. Olaf, Foley.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
For a little bit, I think.
Yeah. She played basketball.
Oh, is that what she played?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite morning show.
That was perfect, guys. Yeah, I think it's clear the Dolphins are the worst.
Yes, I hate to say it because I mean I like the team, but Yeah, without Tua, like.
Yeah, he should probably never play for a long time. So I hope they lose just so they don't have to answer questions if he's playing or not.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to rain in San Francisco, which could make it a messy game, which maybe the Seahawks have a chance then. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't hate the Seahawks. I feel like I haven't heard from them since they were super hot in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't really seen one of their games. That's just my problem, but yeah, I don't know.
Is Geno Smith one of the best stories we've had in a long time in the NFL? Pretty interesting.
Very interesting, yeah.
Until Damar Hamlin walks out of the tunnel.
Yeah. On Super Bowl Sunday, yeah.
He walks into the stadium, Damar Hamlin, I think the stadium might just fall down. It's going to be so loud. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to be watching it. All I want to do is just watch football now. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to eat some breakfast, too, without paying for it.
I can't wait to pay for breakfast for you guys.
I'm looking at this, and I'm like, oh, man, the Bucks have looked so bad all year. The Vikings are the Vikings, and I have the Jaguars. I'm like, oh, great. Great team.
What, the big board led you astray?
The Eagles are ahead of the Bucks on the big board. I should have stuck to the big board, but I didn't want 2-1 seed. So, all right. So, in conclusion, Ren has the Bills, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Ravens. I have the Chiefs, Bucks, Vikings, and Jaguars. And Rudy has the Niners, Bengals, Chargers, and Giants.
Let's dance, please.
Dance.
Should we just go through it? We guess we kind of did, but like, what are our predictions for these games here? Seahawks, Niners. That's a Niners win, right? Great pick.
Yeah, I honestly think if it rains a lot, I could see. I wouldn't be shocked if the Seahawks go in and do pretty well. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, remember against the Bears earlier in the year? That's like one of the only games the Bears won was against the Niners in downpour.
Oh yeah, they beat the.
Oh, Trey Lance got hurt though.
True.
Yeah, but he's still hurt.
Way back to go.
Yeah.
Wait, what's Garoppolo's injury? Like, is there still a chance he comes back?
I think NFC Championship game, I think they may. But, gosh, that'd be so tough to throw him in there, right?
There's no way. They
It's not like he's like Tom Brady in his prime or like, you know, like – it was a stud. I mean, it was still a backup.
Yeah, especially if to get to that point, Purdy will have had to, like, had really solid games or really great games. So then you bench him. Yeah, that's weird.
The Niners
always have quarterback injuries just every single year of their franchise in the past, like, 15 years.
That's wild.
They've had injuries everywhere.
Yeah, it's constant.
Chargers, Jaguars. Yeah, I don't like the Jaguars, so I would go Chargers and them.
The only thing about the Jaguars is like they could be that gritty team that like they just got in and then could go on a run. Just I feel like they are really buying into Doug Peterson's system, but
that Blake Bortles year, remember? Made it to the NFC Championship game.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think I prefer the Jags. I don't know. Something about the Chargers, they're just so inconsistent to me.
To be clear, I don't like the Chargers either as like a playoff team, like making a run or anything, but
gotcha.
That's probably maybe the least exciting game to me. Well, I don't know. It'll probably be closer than Dolphins Bills, but
yeah.
It's Bills, just teams I don't know.
Bills should steamroll by like 20.
I think we all can agree on that one. Vikings Giants, I think this is like an overtime game. You know, I think, or, you know, like something like that. A one-score game, Vikings win. Like we've seen 11 times this season.
Yeah, if it was at noon, the Vikings would probably win by 20. But since it's at 3:30, then we'll split.
Yeah, probably. It's just insane that they cannot win a double-digit game unless it's against the Bears.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all.
And the backup quarterback's in. Or like all the backups, not just the quarterback. But
Ravens Bengals, I think is a good game. I guess I would pick the Bengals too, just because it is Joe Burrow and stuff. But I really like the Ravens. I think they're they're like, I mean, they're a six seed. Like, they won 10 times. I don't know.
I just struggle if they're on their third string quarterback as well.
Yeah.
Because Huntley's not even growing. I think I saw a report today or yesterday. And then Lamar, it's just so much uncertainty. So,
yeah.
It is really interesting, the Lamar thing. Like, it was supposed to be like 3 to 4 weeks, wasn't it? And now
it was just a grade one sprain, I think. And so usually that's like, yeah, maybe 2 to 3 weeks. More so like maybe 3 to be conservative. And now it's just like pushing out more and more and more.
Gotta be something. I don't know. Like, contract is going on. Is it contract related? Is he just like, it's not worth me going and playing at 90% if it's just going to decrease my value and you didn't pay me anyway? So,
right. Just give him an F you since you haven't paid me so far. And
right. And just, well, you're going to lose in the playoffs. And everyone will be like, well, if you had Lamar, maybe you had a chance and that ups my value. I don't know.
But,
could be a long.
But at the same time, it's like, this is the reason why they don't want to pay you. So,
right. Because you're injured a lot. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Huh. All right. What are the other ones?
Last one is Cowboys Bucks.
Yeah, I could see that either way. I could, you know, never betting against Tom Brady, but also, and because the Cowboys are, you know, either here or there, like just so fluky, it seems.
I don't know if the Cowboys are fluky. I think the Cowboys are a good
Prescott,
team.
I guess.
Yeah, Dak does throw a lot of picks.
I mean, they lost to the Commanders like 24-6 while playing their starters last week. So,
yeah, that was so weird. I didn't see the game, but I remember seeing scores update, and it was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But they won 12 games. Like, most teams didn't win 12 games.
Yeah.
But, like, the Bucs had a losing record. It just annoys me that the Bucs, that, you know, they're like the highest seed.
Wouldn't it just be like classic Tom Brady though to just
going around,
so that you're just like, oh, we get a home game and then I'm just gonna light it up and then I'll go on the road and just be Tom Brady and just keep the team in it, go on the last minute drive, kick a field goal to win it, and all of a sudden he's in the NFC Championship again.
Yeah.
Remember the stat that I gave you guys like 2 or 3 podcasts ago where he has a higher percentage of making a championship game than most quarterbacks have of completing a pass?
That's insane. I know. Yeah, it obviously will happen. And like, I do think this Cowboys Bucks game will probably be close. And if it's a close game, then you think, if it's a close playoff game, you think Brady's going to find a way to win it, you know? So. Ultimately, I would pick the Cowboys, but I'm kind of talking myself out of it, I guess.
If say the Bucks win and the Seahawks win, so then like, and the Vikings, so then the Bucks are coming to Minneapolis. Like, you can't tell me like you're not terrified of Tom Brady coming to Minneapolis, and like either round, whether it's conference championship, I mean, then you would be more, but you know, or the next round, I mean, either way.
Yeah,
just like the aura that he brings around. I'm like, you can't tell me Duke Shelley's lining up and just is like, I've been watching this guy since my birth, and he's going to absolutely torch me.
Damn, just a drive-by of Duke Shelley. That's uncalled for. He's actually one of the best corners in the league by stats. Oh,
at Red, I'm not dissing. I'm a huge Duke Shelley guy. At Lambeau, I was at Lambeau with you, not with you, but at the same field, and I was talking to the guy next to me, and I was like, Hall of Famer and Patrick Peterson in the same backfield. Like, I was just making like Hall of Fame Duke Shelley comments and stuff. It was so funny.
And how many beers contributed to that?
Just one.
I was like, it's just nice to have a Hall of Famer and Patrick Peterson back there.
No, but yeah, I mean, Brady playing the Vikings would be, hey, they'd probably get that primetime time slot in the division round if they got Brady.
Oh, totally. That'd be awesome. I mean, my prediction, like what I could really see happening with the Vikings is they go and they play a tough game against the Giants and maybe they squeak out a win. Or a tight loss, but maybe if they squeak out a tight win, and then it's like the same thing as 2019 where they just go to San Francisco and just get steamrolled by offensive and defensive lines that are way better than ours. and we just lose. Like, it's one of those things where we just show up and we're like, oh yeah, we have no chance. We lose by 21 or something. You know, where you're playing a team and you just know that they're superior from like the first minute. I can see that playing out.
I agree. I just feel like, so I look at like defenses. I feel like the defensive line versus our offensive line is just gonna, like, Kirk Cousins has to have a perfect offensive line, and that's obviously not gonna be the case. So like against like the main fronts of the Eagles, like I feel like that's gonna be a really tough, like, go around. Like the 49ers just scare the bejesus out of me as a Vikings fan. The Cowboys, like, we saw that happen already. I feel like the Bucks would be able to get it together. I don't know much about the Giants, but I know that they have like that stud rookie that had like a really good half against us at the very least, if not game. So I don't know. I just, yeah.
Yeah, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah. The dude who did Snow Angels next to, was it Goff when he injured him?
Oh, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was Foles. Thank you. Yeah, the Colts. That's right.
Yeah, that's such a bad look. Like, he did, he clearly didn't know it, but he's like, life is so good. I'm going to celebrate it. Nick Foles is
I didn't know that was him on the Giants. Okay.
Yeah.
Nick Foles is dead next to him. Brutal.
Yeah. It's one
film with the book with the team the next day, and you're just like, guys, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just wincing at yourself.
Yeah, everyone's just cringing.
Yeah.
Although it sounds like he has a big enough ego where he probably wouldn't do that.
Maybe.
You know what's crazy? Also, last thing about the Giants Vikings game is it's two first year head coaches playing each other in the first round of the playoffs. Like, that doesn't happen. I mean, first year coaches don't make the playoffs that often, let alone play each other. That's crazy.
That is very crazy.
Who else? Is the Dolphins head coach first year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another one. Is there three?
The Jaguars, right?
Jaguars. Yeah, four. That's crazy. The four first year head coaches.
Yeah. It was last year, so that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got a bold prediction for you guys. I was thinking about it last night because I was watching Hard Knocks. It's not really a bold prediction, but just a way out in the future prediction. I was watching Hard Knocks, big fan of Hard Knocks, and I think that next year's Hard Knocks team is going to be the Packers. Rules that can't be a first year head coach. And it can't be a team that made the playoffs. And I was kind of going through teams last night, and I was like, who would be like an interesting team to follow? And I just kept going right back to the Packers of like, they never really missed the playoffs. So this would be like one of the rare chances they could actually get the Packers. It's Aaron Rodgers is such like a weirdo that it would draw a ton of people in to be like, I can't wait to see Aaron Rodgers all the time on HBO. And I don't know, just the Packers are like a very popular team. So that's my bold prediction that we could look back on at some point.
I like it. I just feel like, I don't know. It's probably like, I just don't know if they would want to. Like, I don't know if Matt LaFleur would want to. And I feel like, I know, but like, it's the Packers. So you kind of think that if they didn't want to, this league would be like, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, it's fine. We'll find somebody else, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be my hang up on it. But I do agree. I mean, I'm trying to think of other options. Like even the Bears could be one, maybe.
Yeah,
I was thinking all their changes. Oh no, that's first year head coach.
No, he'll be a second year.
Oh yeah, they didn't can their coach. They just hired a new president or something, but not
Kevin Warren's taking over.
Yeah,
the Jets could make some sense. The Commanders could make some sense, but a lot of those depend on Raiders can make some sense. A lot of it depends on the offseason moves, because like if they have boring situations, like I don't really care about the Commanders quarterback battle, but like
I can see Commanders a lot. Yeah,
how about the Raiders when Rodgers goes over there to team up with Devontae?
That would be the dream.
So. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, that could actually happen, huh? Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that.
I don't know. It's going to be very hard to beat last year's, though. Dan Campbell is just so fun to watch on Hard Knocks. I loved every second of it.
Huh. I should get HBO and watch that.
I got two episodes left of Hard Knocks. I caught up a couple of days ago. I made it.
Hard Knocks The Cardinals one?
Yeah, the Cardinals one.
Yeah. I haven't been like super impressed with it, but Cliff is very non-inspiring to me.
I know, he's not. He's not.
Come on, guys. We gotta show up and work hard next week.
All right. It's interesting, too, because it's like, yeah, what happens when you just keep losing over and over and over again? Like, what are you supposed to do? Especially when you're out of the playoffs.
Right.
So that's, like, an interesting dynamic, though. But anyway, do you have a doc wish list, Sam, just to round us out here on a very long episode of Documentary Diehards?
Yeah. Yeah, so my doc wish list, I'm going to keep it short. It just involves around the NFL that we're talking about right now. And coaching trees, I think, are really fascinating, and how some coaching trees are so successful and others aren't. And it would be cool if they could just focus on, I don't know, maybe like two or three coaching trees, one being Belichick, and maybe like, why haven't Belichick's coaching assistants and stuff gone on to huge, awesome careers? And maybe there's no real reason for it. Maybe there is, but then like some comparing them to someone like Andy Reid or Sean McVay, and now all the success that a lot of their assistants are having. And it would just be interesting to like compare and maybe have somebody try to come up with reasons. Like, does Belichick not share his secrets? Does McVay share his secrets openly? I don't know, but yeah, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's one of the reasons why the Patriots have had such a, like, so much longevity, is that he's not sharing his secrets, and he has a lot of secrets and just keeps them to himself and keeps it rolling. And I don't know. So that's just a thought I came up with today as I was thinking about some things, and was like, it'd be really fascinating to get the behind the scenes, and it'll probably never happen, but I would definitely watch it.
Yeah, that's interesting too, because I have thought about that a lot, the Belichick apprentice's failure. And it, you know, kind of upfront, it makes sense, right? Because he's so like crabby, and, you know, at least to the media, he doesn't like share much. He's so successful though. So right. Yeah, that's interesting. I thought of, like, you could do Belichick and you could do Nick Saban's tree, but then that's all the way to college. And, but like, even out of college, like, wasn't Brian Daboll, wasn't he in both trees?
I think so.
Yeah. So yes, then there's the crossover.
Right. You could get interviews with people who have been under both trees, which would be fascinating. And
yeah,
I don't know. And especially with someone or both of those guys have been in the league positions for so long. It would just be fascinating. Like, people who keep going back to them, like Josh McDaniels went away and then he came back and then he went away again. And who knows, if the Raiders are bad again next year, he might be back. It's just crazy.
Matt Patricia, yeah, it's like the lifers, you know, like there's Concordia lifers and then there's Bill Belichick lifers.
That's true. DB4L, baby.
DB4L.
All right. Well, we will figure out who's going to be eating breakfast without reaching into their pocket. And we'll report back after the Super Bowl, I guess. Or if it's clinched before that, it could happen. I could get that win in the championship. Yeah. See ya.
You've got enough wins for your ego, Rich.